Well, this morning, the message is titled Belonging to Christ, Chosen for Prayer. And I'd like to have to ask a question. When you came here today, did you have any anticipation or expectations? You ever ask yourself that question, why am I going to worship today? Or maybe that didn't even come up. I remember one time, me and the Lord weren't right on speaking terms for a little while because I was upset about something. And I came into the church and with all my friends, and I'm sitting clear back in a corner there about where Ray's at. And I said, Lord, why am I here? Have you ever done that? You ever questioned God? Why am I here? Actually, that's a prayer. He likes for us to talk like that. He likes us to ask questions. And I was sitting there with my head down, just talking to him, and I looked up, and what did I see but the cross? There was the cross. That's why you're here. Because of what he did. And so we belong to him. He knew of each one of us before the creation of the world. Each one of us. Think about that for a moment. And so to keep on track here today, the passage of Scripture that I'm going to open with, and excuse me for a moment, I got ahead of myself. I believe Tracy is supposed to come and read the Scriptures. I'm sorry. I don't do this often enough. But what I discovered a few years ago, I think it was about 7 or 8 years ago, I was in a church service, and there was an evangelist, and he was actually making a confession. He'd written a book, and he was going through the dark soul. How many of you heard of the dark soul of the night? Pardon? Yeah. The dark night of the soul. And that was what he had went through. And he was begging God to show him or give him something that would bring him out of that. And he was a very popular evangelist. And the Lord gave him his prayer. And he said, if you recite that every day, and I'm not saying this as a formula, I'm saying this as a life experience. Because the first 30 or 40 days or 50 days that I did this, I thought, this is ridiculous. And then one day I was driving down the road, and a thought came up my mind about a brother or sister in Christ, and there was a part of the Lord's Prayer that just popped into my mind. And I prayed for him. And I started realizing the farther I went with this, the more alive it became. It's a simple prayer. But like any prayer, or even Scripture, we can recite it, we can talk about it, but what makes it come alive is when we apply it. And so it's important for us to practice. Has anyone here ever heard the term, practice what you preach? I can tell you, as a pastor, that comes back on you a number of times. You're preaching something, and I remember one time when I was a young man, I used to like to read, so I'd read these books, and now I have it figured out. You ever read something, and now you got some information? And so I'd tell my brother-in-law, I said, Jim, I said, I was reading this book, and this is what we ought to do. Another program type thing. Yeah, Jerry, he said, that's a good idea. When are you going to start? Whoa, wait a minute. But that's something that we have to think about. Our Father has asked us to come to him, to listen to him, to talk to him, and to obey him. And so as we take time in our circle groups today and ask questions, I pray that part of those questions are going to come from that. Am I devoted to the Father? How do I start my day? Where am I at in the middle of the day? Do I remember what he says? And so when we look at this Lord's Prayer, and we start to start that prayer out with our Father, which art in heaven. The importance of that struck me one day, and that every time I prayed that prayer, that all of a sudden I was speaking of the church, our Father. It's our Father. And if I look out there and I see a brother or sister that isn't performing exactly the way I think they should perform, then I take them to the Father. I don't want to start talking about them. I want to talk to the Father, because the Father is in heaven, and His name is hallowed, and He's holy. And we pray that His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. His word needs to be within us. We need to obey that word. And we can't do it alone. We need each other. There's a lot of conversation here in the past few weeks and month about revival. I think it's a wonderful for revival. I believe that when there's a large outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's encouraging. That it helps us to look up together to what God is doing. But revival first begins within each one of us, taking time with God, asking Him to help us go through each day. It's just a matter of coming in here today and sharing a few words. The other night when we were at the Ark Church, that preacher over there, I started thinking, wow, if I had to preach like that, he could really do it. I mean, he could get up there and, wow. And I'm too old for that anymore. I don't even have the energy to run anymore. And yet, I was inspired by him, because one of the things that he brought out very clearly is that as God's people who are here on earth, if you ever notice, had a home built. I didn't build it. I had it built. But when we build something on this earth, we build it from the ground up. But when we go to the Father and we pray and we talk to Him, and He says to ask and to seek and to knock, and when He reaches down, He builds from the top down. He starts working on us here. And when our mind, when we start changing our thinking, we become a new creation in Christ. And so when we start to pray, give us our daily bread, that's also the daily word of God. It's so critical for us to remember that in order for the Spirit of God to work in our lives, that we must have a heart full of forgiveness. And that can be hard. You ever had a hard time forgiving someone? I have. They did that to me, and they need to ask me for forgiveness. I argued with the Lord for about 6 months on that one time. I just kept getting a heavier and heavier burden on me, and finally one day the Lord says, no, you need to ask Him for forgiveness for the thoughts you've had about Him. Whoa. The Lord is gracious, because within about 2 hours, He's a friend of mine. I wasn't talking to Him anymore. I was avoiding Him. But the Lord was gracious. And He opened my eyes. And I went to Him and I asked Him to forgive me. And true to His character, He laughed. Well, you be going walking around with that kind of nonsense. He said, I ain't just joking with you. I said, didn't sound like a joke. Think about some of the things that you're carrying around. In any case, the Lord's Prayer is a pattern by which we shape all of our prayers. It teaches us different kinds of prayers: praise, intercession, petition, for protection, for the confession of our sins. You know, I have an actual confession written out now. I used to think that was kind of like, Lord, I confess my sins. Forgive me, I'll, kind of casual I was. Then I realized, as I wrote this out and my thoughts became clearer and I was actually confessing sins, it opened up my eyes again to what He has done. A cross-centered life. How He has covered us with His blood once and for all. And so I pray that each one of us takes the time to spend with the Father on a daily basis. And when you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. When you don't feel like talking, talk to Him anyway. And if you can't do that, just sit there and close your eyes and listen. That's been another one of those life-changing passages. And it happened by, I thought, an accident because I didn't know where it came from. But actually, it was God working through my wife's sister. She gave us this, I don't know, stick-on letters. But anyhow, it's Psalms 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. And that you've come into our home in our living room right above the door that goes out onto the patio is that scripture passage in four-inch letters. At first, I didn't really realize. I liked the sound of it, so I put it up there. But I can tell you, sitting there, there's been many days when I just look over there. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And there's healing in that. And it's important to understand that whatever I say today, that doesn't mean you have to duplicate that. What it means is I found a way to worship God. And if you go out into the community, you're going to find all kinds of people who love Jesus that don't do it the way you do it or I do it. Think about it. But as we look at this, as our capacity to pray increases, so our daily habits of prayer broaden to encompass the whole scope of our lives. And little by little, we begin to understand what the Apostle Paul means by praying without ceasing. That passage is in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. And I would highly recommend to all spend a little time on 1 Thessalonians 5:12 through 24. It's instructions. And he conveniently stuck that right there in the middle. Prayer. For that is the goal. Pray without ceasing. And that's when you start to realize that the word is living. It's healing. It's sustaining. And when we're walking in the Word or in the Spirit, and then the Lord manifests Himself with an outpouring of the Spirit, and that revives us, and it encourages us. It sustains us, and it takes us through those. Right now, today, it's those 17-degree days. I just was in Florida in February, and it'd be kind of nice to go back there for a couple of days. But and the Word of God, as I told some brothers in Christ, yes, when I was in Florida, the temperatures were up in the 80s, and it was nice and warm. But that's not doesn't come close to the warmth that I feel here when I'm with my brothers in Christ worshiping, when God has poured out His Spirit. Now, that can take place in Florida, too. But my brothers and sisters that I walk with every day are right here. All I'm saying in all that is be thankful and tell the Lord that you're thankful for where He's placed you. Look for those opportunities to serve Him and make it better than what it is. Whatever it is. And so as we look again at what he's saying here, praying without ceasing, going back to what the scriptures that were read in 2 Timothy there. First of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. I'm not going to read the whole thing. This will stop there. You all can read. But when you're praying and think wherever you're living, We live in a community. We can live in a community, and as believers, we can be praying together. And we need to be praying together. We need to see ourselves as something much bigger than one congregation. We have a brother from this congregation who's in Africa right now, Chad. That's a part of us. Tim's a part of us. I've got relatives. They're not in this church congregation, but they're in a church congregation in Wisconsin. Two of them are in Egypt. My nephew and his wife. Been serving over there for years. I'm a part of that ministry. We pray for them. And you, all of you, have different folks that need to be prayed for, that need to be supported. And most of all, we need to pray and support and encourage each other. And so that leads me to the three verses that was given to me to preach on. So, just getting started. No, not really. When we consider life and where we're at least I find this within myself, and maybe you've solved this, but when I consider what God has done and how much He loves me in spite of me, how much He loves us, no matter what, and what He's done by loving us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. In verse 16 there it says, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. Why would He do what He did? Oh, but I thank God that He did. And that's something we can rejoice about. I also want to encourage you this way. When we were in Florida, there's a church that we go to down there, and that passage of Scripture that speaks to the lost sheep and the lost coin. And specifically the one about the lost coin. And they went around, if you ever lost anything, and glasses don't count. That's not really losing anything. That's misplacing. But it could be losing. But in any case, the lost coin. If you ever lost something, tried to look for it, looked everywhere, and you just couldn't find it. And then you, okay, it's lost. Then you go looking for something else. Boom, right there it is. How excited do you get about that? Hey, I found this. I found it. No, you didn't find it. You stumbled onto it. At least that's the way it works for me. But the point that I want to make there is that when that coin was found, and it's representative of a lost soul being found, what happened? Come on, loud and clear. What happened? The angels in heaven rejoiced. We need to ask. We need to look and seek and knock and for, Lord, give me an opportunity to minister to someone and share your love with them and bring them in here, worship with them, and guide them, lead them, let them hear the Word of God. But let the Holy Spirit bring them into the fold that we can all rejoice. The fields are ripe to harvest. Let us be praying and asking God for what He wants for us. And He wants us to share His gospel message that He loved us so much that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the mystery. It's not really a mystery to solve. It's just the fact that the way He's chose to do it is a mystery. Now maybe you see it a little different than that, but that's what He's called us to do. So remember, that in Circle Church, we build from the bottom up, but God builds from the top down. Let's talk to God. So as I'm thinking about this passage and praying, is there anyone here this week in their prayer time that God spoke to them in a special way? As he spoke to me, we need to look out over our community, pray for our community. We need a lot of help on that. Is there someone here that God has spoke to them in a special way? Share that with us. Cameron. Amen. 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 Brian. Amen. 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 And this is how the Holy Spirit moves. Sometimes we can have a very inspiring message, but on the other hand, life usually moves. And as we hear each other, you know, God speaks to us in just everyday life. Any others? All right. Well, I pray that this message has touched your heart in a way that actually makes us think, but move closer to the Lord. And I'll give one other little story. I liked it, so I'm going to tell it again. You may not like it, but I liked it every time I've heard it, so I'm going to tell it again. But when I was a young man, I was around a farm a lot. I wasn't a farmer, but I was around guys who farmed. And some of those fellas still had pulling horses. And a fellow told me one day, he said, you got to make a choice in this life. You could be a quarter horse or you can be a plow horse. You know, a quarter horse puts on a pretty good show. They don't last long, though. And I've been in a few of those situations where, you know, it's fun. It's exciting. Play ball. I like to play ball. But each time you play, you either win or lose, and then you got to go on to the next game. But this is no game. You know, the old plow horse, they set the plow, and he pulls down through the field. He doesn't finish. He's not finished till that field's plowed. That's what the farmer told me. Now, I never did that, so I shouldn't probably be talking about it, but just think about these things. And what I find is what we believe is what we think about. What we think about is what we act upon. What we act upon is what we become. So I pray that each of us pray. So let's, if you'd stand with me, if you can, we're going to have the benediction, and then we'll have the Circle Church and the discussions. Father in heaven, you made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Direct our heartfelt desires and defend us against our enemy, that we may pray according to your will through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. God bless you this week.